This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com. You're listening to the best of
FUBAR Radio. FUBAR Radio presents
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club.
We're joined in Zoom now by one of my favourite people. It's Elliot Spelacula, the 11-year-old boy from Uncle.
Yeah.
So no one was allowed to swear in front of Elliot when we did Uncle. But Elliot took that as an opportunity to rub it in everyone's faces by parading around and swearing at people.
Did I?
We did that table scene where I was on mushrooms and we were sat around the table.
Oh, yeah.
And just before my close-up, you beckoned me over and you went, "Hey, Nick, you're a gun." And action! I was like...
Every Friday,
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club
from 12 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
We're joined in the studio now by director, producer, writer, actor Jim Cummings.
That's one person, yeah. Too many things.
It's just you. We both went to see your film Thunder Road. It's been a while since I've seen a film that I've seen a lot of films. I've seen all of the Marvel films. they're all solid 3 stars for me.
Yeah, yeah.
It's been a while since I saw a film that I enjoyed as much as I enjoyed Thunder Road.
Oh, thanks
so much.
I thought
it was absolutely incredible.
Thank you so much.
Thunder Road's a brilliant film because I think I went into it very much expecting one thing. And that every scene just became, you know, it was just a different... Every scene went a different way from what I was expecting it to.
Good.
I think it's great. And also, within seconds, like, I'm going to let you talk in a minute, but I just want to
I just
want to get it off my chest. I mean, I think your acting in it is absolutely incredible. And there's a bit where you're out the back of an ambulance and your performance in that scene, it takes you from kind of like, just on your face, it just takes you, and I know you directed it as well, so you must have known what you were doing, playing to your strengths. But I mean, there's stuff in that performance where you go from funny to sad to kind of like confused, and there's all of these emotions that go straight across your face, and it's like, and it's all within milliseconds of each other, where
wince after saying something, and then that says, "Oh, I wish I hadn't said that out loud," and then that's tells that story. You don't have to have that person say dialogue. So I don't know. I feel like I just acted it out 1,000 times, and then
it's great.
Thank you.
I feel like Chris Farley interviewing Paul McCartney. That's
remember
cool.
When you were in the Beatles? That was great. Yeah.
It was. So the short film. But I mean, when you made the short film? It's kind of like a fully contained kind of bit. It's like a slice of life, self-contained thing where there's no kind of like neat ending to it. It's sort of a little bit open-ended in the short. But did you have an idea that you wanted to expand that at the time, or were you happy with it just as a short?
No, I was happy with it as a short. I'd never really done anything before. I was a producer for years, but I never really written, directed, and starred in anything. And I had the idea for the short as kind of this love letter and apology note to my mom. And like, I was 28 or 29 at the time, and I was like, this is a few years ago, and I was like, I feel so terrible, like, looking back on my childhood, I must have been such a jerk, and like, I kind of realized that my parents were people, everything that I say in the opening scene, but it really hit me hard at that time period. I feel like I became an adult. And so I shot this thing with no aspirations of becoming longer than this. It was just this one, like, live-action Pixar film where it makes people laugh and cry and become more considerate, hopefully. And then I ran a Kickstarter campaign about a year later to make the feature because I had the idea of where to go with the feature, and it just worked out. I don't know. The feature was making me laugh and cry in the same way that the short did. And so I was just like, all right, cool. I'm going to listen to my biology and make a feature out of this thing.
But it absolutely didn't go the way I thought it was going to go. You know, in my head, there was a very kind of like...
Yes.
Kind of like a cookie-cutter, mainstream...
indie film.
Film plotline that I could see, which was, you know... Well, I won't give it away. It's such a great film. But I could see... I'd written it already.
Okay. Yes.
And I think that's to its benefit, you know... As soon as it starts and the details come in, the ballet school and the mum dying and the daughter and, you know, trying to build that relationship, then you instantly go, I know what this is.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't do that. And it's kind of like, you go, this film is incredible. And I really love the length of the shots that you got, which you don't get in films.
Yeah.
My favourite scene is the scene where you're in your pants, in your underwear.
Taking my clothes off in a parking lot.
And then at the end of the scene, you know, I mean, is this all spoilers? Can you?
No, you can say that. It's a Jake Gyllenhaal, Leonardo DiCaprio style shouting match, and then it ends with a butt joke, and you see my butt, and it's great.
Yeah, it is. But isn't that the same scene? I mean, forgive me, I still.
But that is it's geared to this character, and he's so lovable, and he's a victim of circumstance all the time. And then it's so close up on this fighting match between him and his partner, and then we cut to one wide shot when everybody's acting weird, and he has a gun in his hand, and he's unholstered his gun, and then he realizes it with the audience. And what's amazing is to watch it with a crowd. Everybody goes, oh.
Yeah, they're
never, like, shocked by it. They're just like, oh, our favorite guy let us down. Yeah. It's great.
Oh, I just think that, oh, things have just got so much worse for him. Oh, that's not great. He didn't need that in his life.
Hi, I'm Ingrid Oliver, and I've just done Nick and Nathaniel's fan club. I did enjoy myself, although I got no eye contact from Nick for the first, I'd say, 20 minutes, which doesn't make for a great discussion, to be honest. But Nathaniel was very nice, so he made up for it.
FUBAR Radio presents... Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville.
It is, of course, DJ Yoda. What's up? One and only.
Yo.
It's a weird name. I hate it.
And really?
Really? I've hated it for years. Like,
tell us more.
I've had the name for like 25 years or something.
Right.
And when I first got named, it was just kind of the lack of anything else. Coming up with names is really hard.
It
coming up with names for albums or songs or any of that stuff, I really struggle. So I just had a Yoda toy by my turntables, and then my mate was like, you got to call yourself something, just like DJ Yoda. And it stuck. But honestly, like, I'm not really a massive Star Wars fan.
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville. Every Wednesday from 4 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
We've got our second guest in the studio right now. She's coming to join us. We're going to get into a nice little chat because I've got so many questions.
Oh.
She goes by the name of Yolanda Brown.
Oh.
How's it going? So, do you know what? All of this time,
yeah.
I thought you were of African descent, obviously because of the name Yolanda. So it's very interesting and very big surprise to find out that you're actually of Jamaican descent.
That's right, both parents, indeed, yeah.
And with naming you, because I know a lot of people of Jamaican descent that are very in touch with their African heritage and their African roots. And was that the case with your parents when naming you?
No, actually, it was a Latin connection.
Okay.
Yolanda.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So my dad loved Latin jazz, and there is actually a song called Yolanda.
Okay.
And so, yeah.
You're a veteran saxophonist.
Thank you. I know, I love the sax. Yes.
Don't knock Kenny G, by the way. If you don't follow him on Twitter, do, because he's really funny.
You can't
knock
Kenny G.
Kenny G, have you not seen a video on my Instagram?
Sexy
Food Man.
Sexy
I've
food man.
Songbird
oh,
as my intro.
I've met Kenny G. I played with him in Nigeria,
me.
Actually.
What?
Bringing it back.
It all makes sense.
And he took his private jet to Nigeria, so don't knock him.
Kenny G's got a private jet, yo!
And a chef. He brought Batman. His private jet and his chef to Nigeria.
You see, have you ever heard that song, Numbers on the Board, by Pusha T?
No.
Your SL's missing an S. Your plane's missing a chef. Yeah. Kenny G, this is like a shut up.
Exactly.
Shut up.
You can't tell him
anything. You can't talk to Kenny G.
Kenny G, the legend. My mum used to love my, like that. They come on, I know.
Yeah, he touches generations.
Yeah.
Obviously, you saw Valentine's Day. He'd been kidnapped by Kanye West and Kim Kardashian to play. What did he play though? He didn't play the sax, did he?
I think, yeah, he did. Was it the sax he was playing?
That's
the soprano sax, so that's the straight line. And that's the same one that was on that track.
Okay.
So, right.
You are hosting the CBeebies prom.
Yeah, Royal Albert Hall.
Talk to us about how you got that gig, because I've heard of the BBC proms.
Yes.
You know, that's an institution
over here.
But I'd never heard that they'd kind of taken it down to the kids.
Up to the kids.
All right.
Well, I've performed at the proms before. I performed at the gospel proms.
Mm-hmm.
And this year was really exciting because on air for the first time was my CBeebies show, which is called Yolanda's Band Jam. So bringing live music to that younger audience.
Nice.
They're just too cute and just enjoy music. Like, they hear music and they just start dancing.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is how we should enjoy music, really.
Yeah.
And I think that they do the CBeebies proms every 3 years. So
it's
coming back round again, prom season, and we just take over the Royal Albert Hall for one night. We've got the Chinookay Orchestra providing the music.
Yep.
And there's some new music written by Hans Zimmer as well.
Yeah,
and
Zimmer. So have you met him as well?
I haven't. Oh. I hope maybe at rehearsals. You never know.
That would be sick.
It is. And it's all around the
I bet he's got
landings.
Entrance music. I bet Hans Zimmer, like music just plays when he enters rooms.
Yeah. But we're going to be exploring the moon landings, and it's going to be a bit of an adventure and just yeah, letting young people enjoy classical music, which I think is really great.
Do you ever want to travel to space yourself? Do you find space interesting enough to kind of venture out there?
You know, as a touring musician, I just love traveling anyway. I love going anywhere in the world. So I think space would be amazing.
I think I'd be too shook.
Play a bit of sax on the moon, eh?
I reckon I'd be scared.
Wouldn't that be good? I played on an aeroplane.
Sick.
Yeah. So it 30,000 feet in the air. It felt good. So I think
you've done some stuff. Where do you find the time?
I know. Well, we just enjoy every moment.
Absolutely.
That's just the way it was.
Was it on Kenny G's aeroplane?
Oh, well, I'm working up to it. It was it was with Nicole Scherzinger for British Airways.
There you go. All right.
It was just a little kid. Yeah, Kenny G's thing. It was just, I can't even remember. Someone called Nicole.
Pussycat, no,
whatever her name was. Something like that. I wasn't really paying attention.
But no, we went on, it was the inaugural flight to New Orleans direct, because before you could go direct.
Just the inaugural flight. It weren't nothing special.
The good thing about it was that we got up in the air, the seatbelt signs went off, and then they just started giving everyone cocktails and beads and stuff, and we just had Mardi Gras in the sky.
Oh, that's sick.
That's sick.
Have you ever seen Soul Plane?
Yeah.
I actually thought I was on Soul Plane. It was fantastic. So yeah, I would love to go to space. I always think how small we are. And how far does space go?
I think that's what scares me.
Yeah.
I think that's what scares me. It's the insignificance of being in space that scares me, even less important out there. Do you know what I mean? Right now, I'm among 7 billion something people. Out there, it's like, I'm among infinity.
Yeah.
So
true.
You know?
It's true.
I have to look myself in the mirror a couple of times and go, you're still a bad bee.
Oh, space.
Everyone's just thinking about it now, it's like space.
Now, space would genuinely scare me. The sea scares me.
The sea scares
me as well.
You know, this year, end of last year to this year, I started playing on, not regularly, but I played on a cruise ship. And so being out in the middle of the Atlantic and being on the end of or the back of a cruise ship, there's no smaller feeling, man. You just think, wow.
Incredible.
You can just see the world continuing and how insignificant am I, you know?
We've been playing a lot of music on the show, obviously, but we've also been compiling a playlist over the last couple of shows now.
Mm-hmm.
Or is this the first one? This will be the third show that we're kind of compiling a playlist. What's in Yolanda Brown's playlist at the moment? What are your five most listened to songs at the moment? Who should we be looking out for?
Oh boy. Okay, one of them you'll probably hate, but I have to put it in.
No, there's no bad answers. It's all subjective.
Well, I blame this on Graham Norton. I'm now a big fan of BTS.
Okay. The whole world is apparently.
Sorry, look outside at our assistant producer who's lost.
You've got
his
a new best
mind.
Friend.
Well, I'm actually going to see them at Wembley Stadium on Sunday.
Get off the floor, he's passed out, Yolanda. Oh my God.
I'm so grateful to you, Yolanda, for coming through and chatting to us, taking time out of your very busy schedule.
This is a fantastic
schedule.
Show.
Oh, thank you very much. That means a lot.
Hey, I'm Eli Cherry, and I just finished being a guest on Michael Payne and Marcel's show, and I had a fantastic time. I got a chance to play my new single, Streets of You, which I want you to check out. And we also played a game that brought me down memory lane. I got to hear a lot of old tunes from the past. Unfortunately, I didn't win. But next time when I come back, I'm going to win. See you then.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
I just want to love you.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio presents.
Come on, let's swing it.
Today I am joined by the absolutely gorgeous, the absolutely stunning. It is Mr. Freddie Bentley. Apparently, like peeing onto an electric fence is supposed to feel amazing because it like gives you. Do not try this at home. I'm imagining this might be dangerous. Please do not try this. But apparently, yeah, it gives you like a, because the electric current will travel up the pee and like zap your bits. Apparently, it feels good. But don't try it. Please don't try it. I did not tell you to do that.
Yeah, that's not. I'm not into that.
Not into it.
I'm not into like electric shocks.
Oh,
no.
I think I could get into that. Yeah.
Oh, you're dangerous.
Yeah, I am.
Oh, how exciting!
Every Wednesday,
Callum McSwiggin
from 6 PM, FUBAR Radio.
Today I am going to be joined by the absolutely stunning Sarah Malindois. Sarah, you're here.
I'm here.
I'm so glad you're here. I was worried that you weren't going to make it.
Do you know, I was stuck on the tube and I was like, I bet they think I've stood them up. And I was like, I did radio for 4 years. I should know a lot better than this. I'll slap myself on the wrist. Don't worry.
It happens. It happens to the best of us. All right, Sarah, we're going to do sex confessions now.
Nice.
So thank you so much to everyone who has sent in their confessions. If you would like to send a confession for a future show, you can do that by emailing callum@fubarradio.com, and we keep it completely anonymous as well, so we're not gonna, you know, tell people who you are, that we will be reading out exactly what you tell us. It's quite exciting to do this with you, Sarah, because it's your job to listen to people's confessions, I guess.
Yeah.
Do you want to read the first one?
Okay, so I'll read the first one. So the first one is, I brought a guy home and was about to have sex until he saw that I don't shave down below, and he refused to carry on and literally left my flat. Why is this such a big thing to people?
See, I really don't like this. I think that's so rude.
Yeah.
Like, I get that some people have certain preferences.
Of course.
But to just, like, go, no, I'm not doing it, and leave and bye, you know, like, that's...
I find that really bizarre, because I'm just thinking, like, in the, you know, the throes of things, and, like, that's the last thing you're probably thinking about. And with most people, nobody really cares. And I think there is this thing of, oh, I have to be, you know, perfect down there. And it has to all look like super, like it does in the porn movies, which are completely not a realistic portrayal of real life. But that seems really dated from the guy for you to just leave based on that.
Yeah.
I just think that's, it's more a problem with him, I think. Maybe he has some sort of underlying issue because, yeah.
All right, let's do the next one.
Fine.
I'm a 23-year-old gay man and have just got my first boyfriend. We were getting close in the bedroom last week and I just couldn't get hard. We tried again the next night and the same thing happened. This is my first sexual experience with a guy, but I really, really like him and I don't understand why this is happening. It's very embarrassing. Well, I feel like you may have some better answers than I do for this.
Yeah.
But I just think that... there's a million reasons why this could be happening,
yeah,
but the pressure of it, if you're 23 years old and you're getting with a guy for the first time, there's so much pressure and expectation around that, that could, you know, you could definitely be getting inside your head about it, and that could be what's stopping you from getting an erection.
I would definitely say that this is more of a psychological than a physiological thing.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything physically wrong with you in terms of if you can't, you know, get an erection. I think it just shows that you're, A, you care, you know, it's your first time having it. Obviously, I would say at 23, I'm sure he's probably known he's been gay for a long time. So being this your first experience, it's natural to be a little bit nervous. Don't put yourself under any pressure. If he's really nice and, you know, and he wants to have sex and everything like that, then he will wait until you're ready. And just explain to him it's your first time. I think it's more nerves than anything. And also, if he's 23, he's still quite young. There's not that, correct me if I'm wrong, but there's not that much. There could be a lot more information and normalization of gay sex and things like that as well. So there could be an element of just maybe not knowing what to do, not knowing what he would like to do. And, you know, if you've never had, you know, sex before, you don't know what you should do. You know, he might be like, should I top, should I bottom? Like, how does this, you know, how does it work? So it might just be nerves, anxious. It just shows that maybe he does really like this guy as well.
Yeah,
and it can happen in any kind of situation. But I think it's just practice. Keep trying. Keep trying.
I've had, I was just, as you were speaking then, I was just counting these off in my head. I've had 5 different instances of reasons why I've been unable to get an erection.
Right.
So the first one was taking medication, which affected it.
Mm-hmm.
Second, recreational drugs can affect it. Third was I was having group sex and I felt very nervous and I felt
intimidated,
struggled then.
Yeah.
Fourth, trying to have anal sex, not really my thing, not really into it, was so turned off that I lost my erection.
Yeah.
And the fifth one, what was the fifth one? Well, I feel like that's a lot of reasons
alcohol?
Anyway. No, what was the fifth one? I had a fifth one. I can't even remember what it was.
Oh, man.
Completely gone. But I'm just trying to make the point that there are...
Yeah.
so many different reasons. Yeah. Oh, the fifth one was, mm-hmm. it was a guy, the first time I got a blowjob from a guy with braces, mm-hmm. and I just heard a story about somebody getting their foreskin caught in braces.
Yeah.
I was so scared that it just went
that
soft.
Will lose it, yeah.
But, you know, I'm just trying to illustrate that there are so many different reasons.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's fine. It happens to absolutely everyone.
Absolutely everybody. And, yeah, like you said, things like recreational drug use or alcohol. So if both times you've been in a situation where maybe you've gone on a date, you've had some alcohol, and then you've not been able to get an erection, then that might be the reason. So maybe try with, maybe let go, you know, don't drink the next time you try.
Yeah.
Because I know that with guys, you're a bit anxious, and I think that could just be it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think so too. Shall we do the next one?
Let's.
Would you like to read another one?
Yeah.
Okay, this one is for you.
Okay. So, next question. I just moved house and my new house...
calls with so many housemates, and you hear, like, absolutely. You can hear the vibrating noises. You can hear the screams, you know.
The bed against the wall.
So it's better that you're open and...
Yeah, unless you, like, look, you know, anything. And then if I don't want to move in, you know, there's the door.
Should that be something you do when you show somebody around and they're trying to make the decision? Like, I think just so you know.
Just FYI, I think if it's a massive part of your life and your, especially like with yourself, Callum, and everything you do. So, you know, you have loads of sex toys, you have a cupboard full of, you know, you can open a shop, we said, offline. But if you live with somebody, it's going to be hard to hide all those toys, you know.
Yeah.
I think, if you're living with somebody, then I think. And it's nice to be able to have those conversations with your housemates, even if it's just, you know, small talk, but just so they're aware of what you do for a living, and that every now and again you just might find a dildo in the kitchen just randomly.
Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, absolute superstar.
FUBAR Radio presents Joey Page.
Welcome into the studio, the Blinders. Welcome, gentlemen. How was Hamburg?
Hamburg is an interesting one because the place we were playing is like where the Beatles cut their teeth, isn't it? You know, what's it, Aereba Barn?
It's just very seedy.
Really fucking seedy, man, yeah.
Yeah.
Really seedy.
Lord, isn't it, you know?
Yeah.
It was right on the edge of the red light district, and a couple of my family went over and they were like, oh yeah, come and meet us up for a drink. You know, we're just over the road in the Hooters. Is my nana there with you? He's like, yeah. It's like, it's the only bar open. So they dragged my nana into a Hooters and I couldn't believe it.
Every Wednesday from 2 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
I'm like a kid in a candy shop today because I've got another one of my absolute favourites. Possibly the best dancer in all of music. Certainly the best performer to wear shorts on stage.
Oh, wow.
It's John Grant. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Joey. Thank you for having me. I'm very pleased to be here.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I love your
likewise.
Shirt.
Thank you. What I wanted to ask you about, obviously, and this has been covered in lots of your interviews, and I don't want to gloss over it because it's quite important, but I am going to gloss over it because...
Please
people
do.
Can find out about this. Yeah. But like, you're so open and candid on like a lot of your struggles and things and like how you feel about stuff. And it's really great that you do that on your records
and
in interviews. But do you find that that has caused a slew of people perpetually going, hey, John, are you okay? Are you okay? And does that get annoying? Or
That does happen sometimes. And sometimes it is annoying because you think, oh.
I'm in a good mood today.
Yeah, I'm in a good mood today. Why? Oh, yeah, that's right. Because you've...
listened to that.
exposed yourself, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, like you sort of intimated there, it's to be expected, you know? And, you know, when you think about it, it's... I appreciate, you know, the fact that... you know, people care enough to say something like that. How you doing?
Mm.
It's not a. It's not meant as an attack.
Yeah.
How you doing, you fucking freak? You know, it's not. I'm pretty sure it's not like that.
Yeah.
Oh, from my family, it is, of course.
Yeah. But that's from anyone's family, and that's
exactly.
When they don't know anything. Like,
exactly.
It's like, why are you wearing those pink trousers? Are you okay?
Yeah. And then you have to say to them for the 6,000th time, "They're salmon trousers, you fucking imbecile." Yeah.
And they're part
salmon.
Of a full suit.
Yeah. Exactly.
I want to speak to you. And one of the things that I think you do so beautifully is that you mix some of that really heavy stuff in with the stuff that I am always fascinated with in every part of everyday life, is the like minutiae of life. Like, and this is just from a couple of like lyrics and stuff, like 67 yogurts and some of the really absurd put downs, but like all those tiny little trivial things that you also go, they're as much of part of what's wrong with this place as what I'm feeling inside. And I think that's so beautiful how you do that.
Thank you. How do you
decide which kind of tiny little things to kind of put onto a record? Like 67 types of yogurt and the cheese being made in a certain part of Iowa and all this kind of stuff.
I don't know. I think that's
how
why
does that come to you?
Well, I think that you should, you know, the thing about writing lyrics is that you must always remember that every type of language is useful to you, and every type of object that exists and every phenomenon that exists is usable in what you do, because one of the things that I've learned to do is be much more open to all of the possibilities that are around me every day. And the truth is that, well, everyday life is quite absurd. It's quite amazing, and it's quite absurd. You know, you're noticing all sorts of weird things. Like, you know, I've used this example quite a few times. You're thinking about, you know, how you weren't really emotionally present when your mother died, you know, while you're buying milk or standing, you know, gum wrapper, some sort of gum wrapper that you think is incredibly beautiful or incredibly horrible or at the same time. So you're being confronted.
See, I would never, even though, I mean, obviously you can't get them all because there's so many, but I was like, yeah, no one's ever really appreciated the artwork on a packet of chewing gum.
I think they have in the 70s. I certainly did.
Okay.
Yeah. But I think that, I mean, that is the reality of everyday life. It's quite absurd. And there's all these things happening that you have no control over. You don't have all this, especially these days where, you know, you've got your phone and you've got the computer and you've got, you know, radios and cameras everywhere and advertising. There's so much advertising being thrown at you on a daily basis. It's, I mean, it's been that way for decades.
Yeah, sure.
But I think it's, you know, reached a, you know.
I kind of like this new wave of it because I'm, you know, I'm being advertised things that I say out loud, which means they're listening.
Right.
But I'm lazy, so I want the things that I want to be put in front of me rather than me having to go and search for them. I think it's quite convenient in a weird way.
Absolutely, in some ways. I mean, I do like it when I hear about cities that don't allow, for example, Sao Paulo in Brazil is meant to have, there's no more billboards allowed, no outside advertising on buildings or anything like
that.
That's
great.
I think that would be fascinating to be able to actually see the architecture in a city
instead
of looking at some horrible, you know.
Like deodorant advert.
Yeah. I do think that that would be amazing, but I do agree with you. I mean, sometimes, I mean, it's scary the way they tailor things to your specific taste because that means all sorts of other things. It's really fascinating. I always get synthesizer software and hardware ads, which I love. I do love to look at them.
I get hair regrowth plans advertised to me a lot at the moment.
Really?
That's just, I'm paranoid.
Is that a weave?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. This is a full wig. This
is
an Elton
John.
Well, it
must be extremely expensive because it looks incredible.
But back to those kind of like tiny little minute details that you like to put in your stuff. Are you walking around noticing them and just go, right, I'll write that down and keep it for later, and you've just got a big sort of vat of them?
Yeah.
That's great. I've already said this once today and then it's been top, but I've already said this about my interview of Mini Mansions.
Okay.
It's the most fun I had in a long time. And you've trumped that.
Geez Louise.
So twice in a show. So what a show this has become. We are going to have to let you go, but I'm definitely going to make sure that I hunt you down next time you're in the UK.
Please.
And
this has been one of my favorite interactions I've had in the radio format.
You.
So thank you for the opportunity.
We're Mini Mansions. We went into the Joey Page show, and it came out the Joe Page show. Names changed. Lovely chap.
Hey, thanks a lot, Joe. Wherever you are in this world, thank you so much, man.
Big Joe.
Fubar.
Adios, amigos. Thanks for having us.
You're listening to Fubar Radio.
You were the girl that changed my world. You were the girl for me. You lit the fuse. I stand accused. You were the best for me. But you turned me up.
You dropped the bomb on me, baby. You dropped the bomb on me.
But you turned me on.
You dropped the bomb on me, baby. You dropped a bomb on me.
You were my thrills. You were my pills. You dropped a bomb on me. You turned me out. You turned me on. You turned me loose when you turned me wrong.
You dropped a bomb on me, baby. You dropped a bomb on me.
But you turned me out.
You dropped a bomb on me, baby. You got the bomb on me.
Just like Adam.
set me free. You took me to the sky. I've never been so high. You were my fears. You were my friends. You were my hope. You were my smoke. You dropped the bomb.
You dropped the bomb on me, baby. You dropped the bomb on me.
But you turned me up,
you
babe.
You dropped the bomb on me, baby.
Friends, I've known you both for so long.
What happened, Stephen?
We were in a bar.
Oh, Stephen.
We got very drunk, and I went to order a drink at the bar, and we might have had a snog.
Stephen! Yes!
I swore Stephen! I'd never say that. Oh, gosh, they're all screaming
out. You snogged the doctor.
Look at his face.
You snogged my favourite doctor.
Yes.
From 6 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
We actually on the phone. Ty and Lexi Clarkson, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
What are you making of this new Love Island lineup? We're going to get straight in and ask.
I think it's quite refreshing, to be honest. I think it's a very different cast to what they had last year.
Do you think?
Previous year. Yeah, but I think...
How come? How is it different?
It's not what I expected the lineup to be. Like, obviously, there was a lot of talk about having curvier women in there, and I'm yet to see a larger woman in the lineup.
Tyne, there's one who's recently lost 2 stone and made press from it. So I know, because there was a lot on about the press, them saying being perfect bodies and all toned and the abs and all of that. So it'll be interesting to see if it is so like that this year. But it looks like they're all gorgeous as usual.
Yeah, they are. They're all very, very good looking people. But we shall see, because there's a lot of bombshells. I've heard there's about 6 bombshells to go in as well.
Oh, ooh. Really?
Yeah.
6 bombshells. Oh my word. I mean, well, how was it for you when you were in there? How did you find the experience?
I found it quite difficult when I was in there. So I study acting, so I'm doing a BA honours acting degree. And originally I was in the villa as like doing a dry run. So it's like a dress rehearsal. They fly a group of people out to the villa. And I kind of saw that as a bit of a paid job, to be honest. I was in front of cameras and whatnot. And then I come back to England. And I kept receiving phone calls asking who I fancied on the show, because they'd already announced the original cast then. And then they just told me that they wanted me in the actual villa, and they were sending a car for me in like 7 hours. It all happened so fast.
Jeez.
And that was it. But when I was in there...
No time to do your bikini line, darling.
I'd done the dry run, and it was obviously, it wasn't a game then. People were kind of just doing the jobs and stuff. It was very chilled. And when I actually went into like proper villa... It was all very bitchy. The girls were not very nice to me. But obviously, it was a game, and I'd literally just turned 20. I was the youngest one in there. I was in there with women that were, like, 27 years old, obviously very worldwide, knew what they were doing, whereas I literally was pretty much clueless going into it. It was a great experience. It's made me who I am today. It's made me a lot stronger and a lot more wise. And obviously, I've managed to earn a living out of it now, which is pretty much what most people kind of go in there for. It's a career move.
Yeah.
The chances of going on a TV show with 6 people, 6 guys or 6 women, and finding the love of your life is very, very slim. Obviously, it does happen. And you've got like Olivia Buckland and Alex Bowen that are married now, and obviously Jess and Dom have just got married. Like, it can happen, but it's 1 in a million. Do you know what I mean?
One's got a baby coming, haven't they?
Yeah,
The Love Island baby.
Yeah,
but it is pretty much a career move. Which, and I know a lot of people that are my friends that have gone on there, like PTs and stuff. It's like, yeah, I went on there because now they can aim at a higher clientele. They can teach celebrities, which obviously earns more of an income and stuff like that. And it was quite a controversial move for me, to be honest, because I want to do acting, so I want to do like TV series or like West End musicals so I can sing as well. It was a bit of a weird move, because if you go into reality, it's quite difficult to get into TV.
Yeah.
But I'm really lucky to have just landed, obviously, the presenting role on Sky Sports TV, which I'm really excited about, which will be coming out on the 16th of June.
Yeah, explain a bit about that to us.
What's that?
What will you be doing?
Yeah, so it's a channel called Ballsy Women on Sky Sports TV, and I'm a presenter on there. So we speak to women in sports, and we get different athletes on each week, and we talk to them and interview them. And just, it's all about empowering women, which is obviously something that I feel really strongly about. So I was really over the moon to find out that I had the job. And obviously, it's a step in the right direction away from reality TV as well.
Yeah, definitely. And also, do you think that there's been a real push for women's sport recently, hasn't there? There's been a lot more talk about women's football and stuff. Why do you think that is?
I think, well, it's about time, to be honest, isn't it?
Yeah. I agree.
Sport's always been at the back foot of it, and it's always been, obviously, for especially football, people say it's a man's sport, isn't it? Like, the men go mental over it. But there's women that just train just as hard as the male footballers do, you know what I mean? So they deserve to be recognised as well. So it's great that we've got a channel that's purely dedicated to women athletes.
Yeah, that's great.
Kind of let them get the limelight that they deserve.
Definitely. I agree with that. There's more women commentators, and you know, you watch Match of the Day now. You never would believe there's a woman, you know, doing it all.
And it doesn't seem controversial, whereas it might have done 10 years ago.
Like, exactly.
It's different times.
Exactly. Yeah, oh, that's fantastic.
Going in the right direction now. Yeah.
So you have no regrets about doing Love Island. Is there any kind of advice you would give to the contestants?
I don't regret doing it whatsoever. Like I said, it's a great opportunity it's a once in a lifetime opportunity for anyone to go and do it, which is part of the reason why I did do it, because you think, probably the opportunity's not going to come around again. My advice would just be, go in there and just be yourself and just be strong. You'll go in there and people will try and back you down, and people will be bitching and people will be horrible, but it's just because it's a game and everyone's trying to play it and everyone's trying to get to the finish line. So if I was just to say anything, just be yourself and just be strong and don't care about what other people think when you're in there.
Yeah, you did.
And just have fun. To be fair, you're in a villa, do you know what I mean? In the sun, in Mallorca, for however long. You don't know how long you're going to be in there for. You're with a new group of people. Just enjoy the experience. It's probably going to be over sooner than you think, so just have fun whilst you're in there.
And to be honest, there are hundreds and hundreds of people going up for Love Island. I know
thousands.
Thousands. I know 5 friends of mine that have gone up for it, not got it. And it is a real big, popular show that people want to be on.
Yeah, it is. And there are, like you said, thousands of applicants. And I think the only reason that they got in touch with me was about my eyes. One of the researchers wanted to know if, like, my eyes were real or not, because a lot of people think I wear contacts, but they are, in fact, my own eyes. And I think it was literally just that odd little thing about me that someone kind of thought, wow, we'll just go for her, and that was it, really. But if you are lucky enough to get on there, then yeah, definitely, I'd definitely give it a go.
Would you go back? Because I know that you did receive a little bit of abuse after you were on the show. Would you go back on if they asked? You've got a boyfriend now, haven't you?
No, I'm single.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've been single for 3 years before I even went on.
Oh, okay.
It's even worse now I've come off. But yeah, I'd definitely go back in, because now I'm so much older. I think I was a bit too young when I went on there, and I was too naive, but now I kind of know, and being on the outside of it and obviously going through all the stuff when you come out, I'd be a lot more clued up about what I'd have to do when I was in there.
But
yeah, when I came out, I received a lot of abuse about my weight, and I was only a size 10 when I went in there.
That's
insane. All the other girls, actually gorgeous. They were like size 6, size 8, but probably was the biggest girl in there, but obviously by no means big. But when I came out, I received abuse before I'd even been given my phone back. Before I'd even left New York, or I was in the airport incognito, because I hadn't aired the episode of me leaving yet. And there was a family, and it was a dad, and he must have been like late 40s, and he'd shouted, you've been chucked out of the villa because you've got too many stretch marks. And obviously, I hadn't even had my phone back at this point. So I was just I was in pieces, like crying to my chaperone, like, oh my God, does everyone think I'm fat and
jeez,
all of this?
That's awful.
No. But I literally had to wait 24 hours till the next day after I'd done the after sun until I was allowed my phone back. And obviously, there was so much support. Because I was your everyday sort of girl. Like, I wasn't mega toned.
But how sad
normal.
Is that? You know, gorgeous. And, you know, that is just crazy.
Yeah, but you have people then moaning about the fact that, there's no larger women on there or larger men. But when there is, you get people flag you off for it. So it's like a lose-lose situation. Do you know what I mean?
Mm. But you handled it so well, and a real inspiration to others, because it does go on. It's really sad. It's lovely to speak with you, and best of luck with the presenting. Sounds like it's all going amazingly well. And
thank you.
Best of luck with
it. Yeah, good luck with it. Thanks for speaking to us this evening.
Hi, everyone. My name is Nathan Chen. Just came off the show X is All Areas. My song, I Got Me, has been played for the first time here on FUBAR Radio. And I'm pretty excited, and I'm very, very happy this was my first UK radio airplay with this song. Thank you so much for having me.
FUBAR Radio presents Harriet Rose. Elle Devine is in the studio with me right now, babes.
Hello. Like, my best friend Niall was really into music, and I just like to copy everything he did, but like try and do it better. So I was really competitive as a child, so that's how I kind of got into music at first. We'd like played in little bands and stuff just in my spare bedroom, and like we took the mattress off the bed frame and then like performed on the bed frame stage and got our other friend to like flick the lights on and off, and it was like special.
That's
effect.
Absolutely sick.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was sold out show.
Whoa. Every Thursday from 4 p.m. on FUBAR Radio. St. John's in the building.
Ooh. Fresh off a plane too.
Are you feeling saintly today?
I feel the same every day. Sexy.
And you're on a radio station where you can swear, so
like
it's a little
that.
Bit less.
Let's just test it.
Yeah, no, go for it.
Let's go. You know what? Let's do a back and forth real quick. Me
okay.
and you, right?
Yeah, go.
I'm going to say the first curse word I think of. You say the second. We're just going to keep going until somebody dropped the ball. You ready?
This couldn't be
this
more
This is like
me.
Ratchet Olympics. Are you ready for this?
I'm fucking ready.
All right, cool. All right, hold on. I got to start.
Okay, you go.
All right, hold on. It's word for word.
Yeah.
Right? Don't fuck it up.
No.
Drop the ball. You going to count me down?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1. Fuck.
Shit.
Ho.
Bugger.
Slut.
Cock.
Cunt.
Dick.
Dick.
Fanny.
Oh,
I win!
Oh shit!
I win!
I lose the Ratchet Olympics?
I'm being courteous
because I'm in London.
Is that because we both said dick at the same?
But I got one, so that means you bit me.
No, I won.
On a technicality, I won.
No, I won.
No, I didn't win.
I'll let you win. How
That's
are you,
fair.
Mate?
I'm good. I feel great.
That was the best start to an interview I think I've ever had.
I like that.
How's it being in the UK? Have you literally just dropped in?
Literally. Yeah.
And we're the first stop.
You're the first stop.
And you're off to play the ENDS Festival tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow is going to be sexy. It's going to be real good.
Now, you've never been to Croydon before, have you?
No.
That is the ENDS. That is the ENDS.
Okay.
It's sick.
Oh, the hood?
Yeah. That is the ENDS of London.
Oh, it's like being in East New York for me.
Yeah.
It's like being in Bushwick or Bed-Stuy or something like that.
Which is where you grew up in Brooklyn, right?
Yeah.
But also you traveled a lot to Guyana. Am I pronouncing that right? Guyana.
You're getting close. I like it.
Guyana. How do you?
I like it.
You say it.
Guyana.
Guyana.
You traveled to Guyana.
How do you say it?
The accent. I say Guyana.
Okay, Guyana. But is that because it's an American Guyana?
Nah, because if I said it in Guyanese, I'd be like Guyana.
Oh, okay, so I'm wrong.
It's the same. Sorry, let's not say you're wrong.
We're all right. We're all right.
You have a version.
I've got a version.
Yeah. I'm not mad at your version. Yeah.
So you excited for tomorrow?
I'm hyped for tomorrow. This is my first festival in the UK. Like,
whoa.
This, yeah, for real. So this is a big deal for me. I've done shows here. I've sold out shows here.
Yeah, of course. But,
so that's cool.
But festival, can I tell you, I don't know if anyone's warned you, but UK festivals are pretty nuts.
Really?
Girls
put out their titties a lot?
Oh, a lot.
That sounds right about home for me.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So I went to Coachella, and when I went to Coachella, I was like, Americans don't even know about festivals until they come to London. That was only Coachella that I've been to, though, so I know there's a lot of better festivals.
No, there's tons. Coachella's like...
Yeah, the worst one, yeah.
Coachella's... I'm not even going to say it. I ain't say it's the worst one. You ain't going to fuck up my Coachella.
No.
Coachella, I'm going to come. We're going to do this.
Yeah.
But Coachella's like a Hollywood festival.
It's a light festival, whereas London, we do festivals heavy.
Okay, so you're more dusty?
Yeah, more dusty, more dirty.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And more swearing.
No showering and stuff?
No showering.
Oh, no, I don't know nothing about that. Get me the fuck out of here. As soon as I get off stage, get the fuck out of here, man.
No, you're going to love it. You're going to love it.
Yeah.
It's a sick lineup as well. It's good to be part of that.
Nas is on there too.
Yeah.
Like Nas.
Yeah.
And they,
Nas, like actual Nas.
It was written.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be a sick.
Just for clarity, there's a lot of confusion these days.
Yeah. You got to be sure.
Yeah, you never know.
So you're going to be on stage, and I want to warn you, the crowd's going to be lit. I can 100% guarantee you that.
I like that. You guarantee me that?
I guarantee you.
I guarantee it. Who had that? What movie was that? Where he was like, I guarantee it. Oh, if you guess this movie, I got a Christian Sex Club hoodie for you.
Oh, no, don't say that, because I have no idea what
the
movie is.
Do you want a Christian Sex Club?
Yes, okay, so
try.
I guarantee, is it Jerry Maguire? That's the only thing
Jerry
where...
Jerry Maguire. I'm not mad at you because that's a good movie. So I'm not going to kick you out of your own studio because of that. But you're going to get another shot. Try this again.
Okay.
Yeah, another shot.
Give me a genre.
I guarantee it. Blue Magic, I guarantee it.
No, there's nothing.
I gave it away, fam. Blue Magic, I guarantee it.
No, I don't know. I can't
gangster,
even lip read.
It starts with gangster. It ends with gangster.
American gangster.
She said it like it was high idea, but you wouldn't have known. There's like three people throwing her the lines in here.
American gangster.
Is that how it happens?
Not only
like
that,
on America's Got Talent.
Not only that, someone said it in my ear as well.
Oh wow.
Yeah, but you can give her hoodie.
You're a fraud. You threw the window. You ruined it. Nah, it's all good.
Now
yeah,
let me.
American gangster. Denzel was like, "It's Blue Magic. I guarantee it."
Denzel Washington's one of my favorite.
Same. Incredible, right?
What's the film, the punt that went, the ultimatum where he's like, what's it called, where he goes around killing people and it's absolutely sick?
He does that in most of the movies.
The Equalizer, no, that's one of the best films.
He doesn't kill a lot of people in a lot of movies?
Yes.
He's my favorite action star.
He's sick.
He's a black action hero.
He's a hero.
He's 16, he's a black action hero. He's a legend.
Right, let's talk about you, the legend now. Right, Trap is your brand new track.
Brand new track.
And the video, you did a little sneaky peeky on your Instagram.
I gave you a little, yeah.
A little something. What's going on there?
A little seduction.
Is that coming?
Soon. Real soon.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. I saw you were riding motorbikes. That's very dangerous.
You afraid for me?
Yes. I was nervous for you on that bike.
What do you think was going to happen?
Well, I don't want you to fall off and, you know, hurt that beautiful head of yours.
I like that. Thank you. I was fishing for a compliment. That's all I was
I'm here with it. I'm a fish throwing it at you. There you go.
What else you got for me?
No, that was what I was worried about.
I just got to London. I don't got a girlfriend. You can throw what else?
Let's do it. Let's do it. I'm coming to the ends with you.
I like that.
Tell me a little bit about the new album, because this is the first release from it, right? And it's called Ghetto Lenny's Love Song.
Yeah, yeah. It's just an ignorant project.
When is the album coming out?
I can't tell you when the collection's coming.
Not yet.
I can't tell
you. The collection is not coming. We know it's coming, but we don't know when.
It's coming soon. It's coming urgently. But here's what I got, right? I get ensnared in this, right? I'll tell you a date or I'll give you something and you remember it. I don't remember the shit. I just said some shit. And I leave and now you DMing me, yo fam.
Yeah.
Fam. Right, yo fam, you give me a date, fam. I'm like, nigga, I don't
do
know.
Do that again. Do that again.
Right, ain't that how you do it? Like, fam, look, fam. You give me a date, fam. You got to stick to the date, fam. Like, yo.
I'm dead for your British accent. Like I'm dead, fam. Hello.
Dead, fam. Look, fam.
Oh, my God.
Look, bruv. Look, bruv. Pull up, bruv. Me? Say my first time.
Thank you for joining
that.
Us. I'm obsessed with you now, so that's great. Just make sure you know that if you do the accent to the ladies tomorrow, you're going to clean... up.
Is that it? Is that how it works?
Clean up. Thank you so much.
No, thank you for having me.
Please come back to FUBAR so you can swear all you like.
I like that. One more time before we go ratchet.
Yep.
What is it called? Ratchet Olympics?
Yep.
You ready to go again?
Yeah, let's go.
3, 2, 1, skunt.
Fuck.
And I won. See, I told you I'd redeem myself.
I let you win.
Thank you for tuning into FUBAR Radio. This is St. John and my lovely co-host,
Harriet Rose.
There you go. Love yourself. And don't call people fam.
Hey, yo, what's up, everybody? I'm Chauncey Black.
I'm Mark Middleton.
I'm Levi Little.
And I'm E. Williams.
And we are Black Street. Hey, yo, we enjoyed the show today. Sure. It was amazing. Foo Bar Radio was off the chain. We had a great time speaking to everybody. We felt like we were home in there. They're calling us legends throughout the whole show. And, they really knew the music.
Exactly. That was so great.
Right, right, right.
The fact that the guys really knew the music, you know?
Right. And they're funny.
Yes.
Hilarious. But we had a good time.
Foo Bar Radio presents
Ian Molesworth.
We are joined now by Caroline Sheen. Hello, Caroline. We're going to talk about 9 to 5, the musical. No, I was watching that Dolly Parton was there, and there was a big reveal of her on the stage.
Yeah,
which was amazing. She felt excited, even though I don't know much about Dolly Parton and that. Yeah. I still felt the excitement of that.
She's an absolute legend. I mean, that woman, she came over for like 3 or 4 days to promote the show.
Yeah.
And then the next day was our opening night, and she came on stage and spoke to everyone. And then she came off in the wings with the three of us girls, and she wasn't with her like security people. And so she could speak really freely to us, and she was so lovely and
she was
supportive.
Just real.
And she was like, I want to come see it again, but without all these people.
Every Monday,
Ian Molesworth
from 4 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.